have your Bibles, go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Thanks for being here on this cold day. We've had a cold start to the winter, haven't we? My goodness, some frigid temperatures. I shared a joke, I think it was last Wednesday night, that it's been so cold in Texas, the prosperity preachers have had their hands in their own pockets. It's been so cold that hitchhikers are using pictures of their thumbs. They don't even want to pull them out of their pockets. It's been so cold, the teenagers are actually pulling their pants all the way up. That's not a bad thing. Maybe we can stand a little more cold weather, right? It has been cold, but I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here this morning. I hope you'll be back tonight. I know some of you aren't always able to get out as it gets closer to the evening, but tonight is going to be a very important and historic evening in the life of our church as I share the biblical vision for where God is leading our church this year. If I was on a bus, I'd want to know where that bus was going. If I get on an airplane, I want to know what the destination is. I'm not getting on for the ride. I'm getting there for the destination. And if I was a part of a church, I'd want to know where the church is going for the next 365 days, wouldn't you? So be here tonight at 6 o'clock as I share the biblical vision for where God is leading our church this year. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Do you know where our vision comes from? And not new schemes and programs the pastor can dream up. Our vision comes from the pages of God's Word. And tonight I'm going to share that biblical vision with you. You're going to be here for it, and I hope that you will make the decision to be wholeheartedly involved this year in what Worth Baptist Church is attempting to do for God. As we're coming into a new year, I think a lot of people come into a new year with anxiety. I think it's very easy to get worried about the prospects of a new year, and the older I get, the more I realize that. Whenever I come upon a new year, I always feel a little like the ancient map makers. Before modern technology and modern travel came along, map makers would draw maps. They would draw the earth as they knew it, and they could only draw the places that they had personally been to. When they reached the last point of their exploration, they would finish their map. And in the places that were unknown to them, they would write, "Beyond this, there may be dragons." Now, they weren't saying that beyond this there were dragons. They were just saying that they didn't know what may be out there beyond where they had traveled. They were afraid of the unknown, afraid of the uncharted. I heard of some men years ago who were on a leaky old ship. That's always a bad place to be. They were in the middle of a rough and stormy sea. And they were fearful for their lives. They didn't know whether they were going to sink or not, so one of them went to the captain's quarters, knocked on his door, and said, "Captain, are we safe?" The captain said, "Well, I'll put it to you this way." He said, "The boilers on the ship are very weak. They could explode at any moment." He said, "Also, the ship is very old, and she's taking on water." He said, "To be very honest with you, we may have an explosion, or we may sink." He said, "We may go up, we may go down, but at any rate, we are going on." You know, that's true about a new year, isn't it? We may go up, we may go down this year, but at any rate, we are going on. It's very possible this could be a year in your life that things go up. This could be the greatest year of blessings God has ever given you. It may be the year in some aspects that your life goes down. New Year is always a time of reflection for me. And even as I'm looking out this morning, and as I'll look out on the auditorium here in just a moment as we come into the 11 o'clock preaching hour, I'm aware of the fact that 2016 was a very difficult year for some of our church members. Things may be up, things may go down, but whether we like it or not, they are going on. Ever feel the temptation to get anxious this time of year? Listen to these words from Hudson Taylor. They've really helped me this week. He said, "I'm no longer anxious about anything, as I realize the Lord is able to carry out His will, and His will is mine. It makes no matter where He places me or how. That is rather for Him to consider than for me. For in the easiest positions, He must give me His grace, and in the most difficult, His grace is sufficient." So whether this year is filled with easy situations for you or difficult situations, God has promised you His grace. His grace will be sufficient, so let not your hearts be troubled. Don't approach a new year with anxiety. You know, there's another way to approach the coming of a new year, and that's with arrogance. A lot of times young people approach the beginning of a new year with arrogance. They think they're going to have a lot more new years. A new year is no big deal. 365 more days is certainly ahead of me, they think. I don't need to make any life changes. I don't need to live with urgency. Life will last forever. Young people sometimes have that arrogance. James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to some people who have the arrogance to not consider how precious every day and every year really is. Would you look at James chapter 4, verse 13? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such boasting is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James is saying there's a great mistake in being arrogant about the coming of a new year or about even the coming of a new day. Moses said in the 90th Psalm, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Moses said you need to count your days. You know why we count things? Because they're important to us. My guess is that just about every man in this room can give me a general estimate about how much money is in your wallet. I always know pretty close to the dollar how much I'm carrying. How about you? I can tell you pretty close the number in my bank account today. Whenever my family goes somewhere, I only have two children, but we count them both. We don't want to leave either of them. They're precious to us. We would go on youth activities, and I would always be wearying to the teenagers because I'd be counting them everywhere we went. It's not that I didn't mind leaving a few of them in a few places, but I knew their parents wouldn't like that very much. They were precious. They wanted them all to come back. We count the things in life that are important to us, and both James in the New Testament and Moses in the Old Testament is saying what we really need to count is our days. I want you to think of your life as a treasure chest. I want you to think about the contents of that treasure chest. Gold, gems, rubies. And inside that treasure chest, each of those pieces of gold or gems or rubies represent a day. God says that's what matters. Every day we go to the treasure chest and we pick up one of God's rubies, one of God's gems, one of God's pieces of gold. And we spend it on something, don't we? Every single day we choose how we're going to invest our life. And here's the amazing thing. One day we are going to walk up to that treasure chest and discover that we have no more of God's precious days to spend. And how we've spent our lives is how we've spent it. And we will never get it back. And that's the thing about life. It's shorter than we all imagined, and we only get to live it once. And I want to submit to you that we need to make the most of the days that God has given us. So I want to speak to you for a few moments just very practically on making the most of 2017. Peter said, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of men is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. James says, what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then poof, it's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reminded of something today, that I am not guaranteed to make it to 2018, and neither are you. In fact, I'm not even guaranteed to make it to tomorrow morning. And that can be depressing at times, but I don't think that's how God intends for it to be. I believe God means to take texts like this that remind us how fragile and temporary life is, and they are meant to be illuminating, not depressing. It's meant to wake us up to the reality that our lives are just a mist, just a vapor. They are here one moment, they are gone the next, and we need to make the most out of our mist. Because that's all life is. I want you to notice, first of all, right here in James chapter 4, a sobering statement. A sobering statement. He says, "For ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Look carefully at verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." What's James writing about there? Verse 13 was actually a very common business statement in James's day. And what it's talking about is it's talking about businessmen that make their plans to go to a certain place this week and to continue there for an entire year. And they make their plans to buy and to sell, thinking that they have all of their lives to spend them as they like. James is writing in the book of James to people that have become focused on the material realm. If you've read the book lately, you know he has many instructions for people that are rich and have many riches. And James is saying, those of you that have riches, those of you that are involved in business, need to be very careful that you do not become so focused on the material realm that you are blinded to the spiritual realm. I mean, I want you to think about this with me for a moment. When we think about the fragility of life, when we think about the fact that Tim Lee's teenaged granddaughter passed away yesterday, when we think about the fragility of life, how arrogant is it for us to say, next week I'm going to do this, and next year I'm going to do that, and here's my 10-year plan, and here's my 50-year retirement portfolio, and to act as if every day I'm in charge of determining how long my life will be. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that the next breath you breathe is a gracious gift from a good God? Do you realize that it is not up to you to determine how long you are going to live, or whether you'll be in business this time next year, or whether you'll be alive this time next year? Do you realize that there is only one who is sovereign over matters of life and death? And that's the Lord. And what James is doing here is he's not telling us not to make plans. He's not telling us to set money. That's not what he's saying. He's saying here, don't live your life as if your life is up to you. He's saying, don't make plans for your life in such a way that you leave God totally out of the matter. He said, make your plans in life understanding that if you have another breath, it's because God gave it to you, and you ought to yield every moment of your miss to the one who gave it to you in the first place. He's saying here, you're acting like Wall Street in the business world, and your 401k are going to last forever. And they aren't. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. They're like a vapor. And he's asking us to remember that God is sovereign over life and death, and to remember that we will live another day only if the Lord wills it. Do you believe that? I believe that's true. Jonathan Edwards wrote 70 resolutions for his life, Brother Tim, not just New Year's resolutions. He wrote 70 resolutions for his life when he was a young man. One of those resolutions says this. He said, "I'm resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death." And some of you are saying, "Pastor Gillett, that seems like a morbid, depressing way to live, to always be thinking about your death." I want to tell you something, folks. That's a liberating way to live. Because when I finally understand that the length of my life is totally up to God, and I stop running for my own mortality, I can live my life in such a way that I know that at that moment, if it's the very last moment that I have, my life was worth living because I yielded it to God. If every breath occurs only by the sovereign grace of God, and it does, then every breath should be yielded to the sovereign will of God. That's what James is saying right here in James chapter 4. So listen, to act like you have forever to live for God is a mistake, because you don't. To put off your salvation until next Sunday is a mistake. To hold a grudge against a family member until next Christmas is a mistake. I'll get it right tomorrow. I'll get it right next week. You don't know what will be on tomorrow, James is saying. I remember one person writing this, and I think I've heard Dr. Barber quote it. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. And that's why we call it the present. So this is a sobering statement. You don't know what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. So get it right today. Not only do we see a sobering statement, we see a critical question. Look at what he says in verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? You see, folks, when you live life with the perspective that today and this moment is all that is guaranteed to you, it will force you to take inventory on what you're doing with your life at this moment. Notice James doesn't ask, what was your life? I'm afraid far too many of us are living in the past. James doesn't say, what will your life be? What great plans do you have to serve the Lord in the future? No, he says every moment is a gift from God. We don't know what tomorrow brings. So we need to do inventory today on what is our lives. What is our lives? John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus said this, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I want to ask you a question. If you were to write down on a piece of paper one word that would answer this question, here's the question. What is my life? What is my life? What would the answer to that question be? For a lot of teenage boys over the years, as I was a youth pastor, they probably would have tried to answer it with three words: food, football, and females. That would have been the things they lived for. Maybe some of you are saying, my life is my children. My life is my family. My life is my job. My life is my money. And some would say, my life is my church. Jesus said, what's the only thing to give your moments for? He said, this is life eternal. This is what it's all about, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Paul had it figured out in Philippians chapter 1. Because he said, my life is Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to you that if there is any other answer to the question, my life is, than Christ, we are living for the wrong thing. What is your life? Can you honestly take an inventory, not on what your life was and not on what you hope it will be? Can you take an inventory on your life right now as you sit here on this Sunday in January and say, I can say before the Lord and my family members and my friends would know it's true, my life is Christ. That's what it's all about for me. James says that's the only thing worth living for. You know what that means? Means that Jesus isn't asking us for occasional Sunday mornings. He's not asking us for a 20 in the offering plate every now and again. He's not asking you to live just a slightly better version of the life you would have lived without him. Do you understand that? You know what Jesus is offering us today? An exchange, life for life. That's what he said in his word. He that will save his life shall lose it. He that shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. Jesus is asking all of us to give him our sinful, messed up, wicked, ungodly lives and exchange it so he might live his perfect eternal life through us. That's the offer he has for us, to exchange life for life. And that's what New Testament Christianity is. So he says here, what is your life? And I hope you can answer, my life is Christ, because I've given him my old sinful life, and now Jesus is living his life through me. That's a critical question. I don't think there's any more critical question that could ever be asked than at this moment, what is your life? So a sobering statement, a critical question. Look at an important illustration right there at the end of verse 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Isn't that a great illustration of our lives? Just yesterday, we were in the kitchen and we were cooking, and the steam was ascending off the pot. It was there for a moment. I was thinking of James chapter 4. That's my life, according to God. A few weeks ago, we had the privilege of being in Florida. We got to go to the beach for a few of the days. It was 85, 90 degrees. It was wonderful. I mean, it was just a lot of fun. We were making sandcastles and running into the waves. And when the waves would come back for just a split second, there would be foam on the sand. You ever seen that? I mean, it just comes in with the tide and it's foam and it's there. It's not even for a second and then it disappears. That's what our life is. You ever lit a candle and watch the smoke just descend and it's only visible for just a second? James says that's what your life is. It's like smoke on a candle. It's like sea foam from the ocean. It's like steam that ascends for just a moment and then it is gone. It's mist. And you know the thing about mist is that it is temporary, it is momentary, and it is fragile. And the eternal God of heaven looks down at our lives and says, you know, that's really what you are, just a mist. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that we only have one life. It will be much shorter than we think it will be. And that it's up to us to make the most of our mist. God, make the most of it. So as I'm coming into a new year, you know what? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, God, this year, by your grace, if you allow me to live to 2018, I want to make the most of this year. I want it to count for you. And whether it's the second Sunday in January or the third Thursday in November, I want to be able to say, my life is Christ. I want to live for you all year long. I want to make the most of it. So, Pastor Gillett, what's your plan for doing that? Well, I'm going to ask myself five very simple questions because I want to make the most of my miss this year. These are very practical things, and perhaps you could write them down and ask yourself these questions this year. Number one, if I'm going to make my year count for the Lord, I'm going to ask myself this question. How can I fill my mind with the truth of God? How can I fill my mind with the truth of God? This year, I'm only going to change and become a more committed Christian if I put God's word in my mind. So I'm going to ask myself this question, how am I going to read God's word this year? How am I going to read God's word this year? Have you made a commitment starting this year that you're going to read God's word every single day? I hope that you have. Let me ask you a question, do you have a plan for reading God's word every single day? Some years I've done a Bible reading plan, some years I haven't. Right now I'm on a particular plan. And in that plan I'll read through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once this year. And I'm well on my way through the first week of January working that plan. What's your plan? You see, folks, I've noticed that if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. And if you've not put something in your life that says at this particular time, in this particular place, I'm going to open up and read this particular thing, most of the time we won't do it. You know that's true? So what's your plan this year for reading God's word? Then I'm going to ask myself this question, how am I going to memorize God's word? So I want to fill my mind with the truth of God. How am I going to memorize God's word? What's my plan for memorizing different verses or passages of scripture? Because here's what you need to know this year. The moments when your life is going down, and there may be some of that moments, at those moments you may not have God's word within arm's reach. Did you know that? At the critical moments in my life, I have had to rely on the word of God that I had memorized. I'm thinking of Joseph when he's in the grasp of Mrs. Potiphar, and all he has right there in Egypt is what he's already put in his mind about God. So what's your plan for memorizing God's word this year? Nobody is too advanced. Nobody is too mature. Let me say it indelicately. No one is too old to be memorizing the Word of God. Every Christian ought to memorize God's Word. So I'm going to ask myself, how can I memorize God's Word? Then I'm going to ask myself, how can I learn God's Word from others? See, I've made a decision in my life that I want the Bible to be the soundtrack of my life. I want it to be playing constantly. One of the great gifts that happened to me in 2016 was we put out an anniversary sermon CD. Do you remember that? It had MP3s on it. One of those MP3s was Dr. Barber's scripture sermon. And I can't tell you how many afternoons going home that has been the soundtrack for my life, listening to God's Word. You know, the internet is filled with options for you to get online and download good, solid Bible preaching. I want to hear God's Word every day. I listen to a sermon just about every day of my life. So I've got a plan this year. How am I going to listen to other people teach God's Word? And in all of these things, my goal is not just information, it's transformation. I want to hear God's Word. I want to apply God's Word. I want to be a better Christian at the beginning of 2018 than I am today, don't you? Then I've got to fill my mind with God's truth. Let me hurry with these other questions. Number two, how can I stir up my love for God? How can I stir up my love for God? Because if I'm not careful, Bible reading and church attendance can become a monotonous and boring thing. You ever been there? You ever gotten to a place where your devotional life is dry, where you're just going through the motions on Sundays and Wednesdays? I think all of us have. So this year, I need to have a plan for stirring up my love and my affections. My goal is not just to know God. I want to love Him, and I want to do it with passion. So I've got a plan this year for keeping my heart red hot in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask this question, how am I going to worship? If I'm going to stir up my love for God, I've got to worship. So how am I going to worship in 2017? Well, the first place I'm going to worship is in my work. That sounds odd, doesn't it? When we think about worship, what do we think about? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, don't we? But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, I believe when I come in here and study God's Word and pastor people that I'm glorifying God and worshiping through my work. And I believe that whatever your job is, whether it's working at a plant or fixing pipes or raising children, that if you will do what you do for the glory of God, that it is an act of worship. So this year, I want to worship God through my work, not just going through the motions Monday through Friday, but surrendering every single day as a gift of worship to Him. I'm going to worship in my work. I'm going to worship through weekly worship with my church family. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to keep your heart on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ this year, you have to prioritize weekly worship. And I'm going to say this, I truly do believe that if you are going to maintain a red-hot relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be on fire for Him this year, you need to be in church just as often as you can whenever these doors are open. You know what's true about fire? You take just an ember away from the fireplace. You know what happens? It burns out. I'm going to tell you, in 2016, we had some church members burn out. You know why? Because they separated themselves from the fireplace. You know what happens when a bunch of embers get together? When a bunch of members get together? Oh, the fire stokes stronger and longer and hotter than it's ever been. So I want to ask you to make a commitment. If you're going to make the most of your miss, be here Sunday morning, be here Sunday night, be here Wednesday night. Be here for Sunday school. Prioritize weekly worship. Then I'm going to ask, how am I going to pray? How am I going to fast? How am I going to give because where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. How am I going to stir up my love for God this year? Just three more questions, and I'll go through these quickly. Number three, how will I share God's love as a witness in this world? How will I share God's love as a witness in this world? Because if I'm stirring up God's love within me, it will not be long until I am sharing God's love with other people. So I have a plan this year about giving out the gospel. I'm going to carry gospel tracts every single day. I'm going to go out soul winning either once or twice a week. I'm going to be involved in outreach ministries here through Worth Baptist Church. I'm going to target neighbors, and I'm going to target associates and friends. I mean, I've got a plan this year for reaching people for Jesus. Do you have a plan? You have a plan for reaching people for Christ this year? There are people all around us whose lives are being snuffed out and they are dying and going to a devil's hell. And somebody needs to have a plan in Fort Worth about how to reach the lost people for Jesus Christ. Let's make a plan. What's your plan in 2017 for seeing lost people come to faith in Jesus Christ? Because if you don't have a plan, here's what's going to happen. January and February and March and April and May and June and July are going to go by, and you're going to get to December, and you will not have won one person to Jesus Christ. Can you honestly say you've made the most of your year if you haven't led a soul to Christ this year? So what's my plan? What's my plan for sharing God's love as a witness in this world? Number four, how will I show God's love as a member of my church? See, I'm not just here to be ministered to. I'm here to minister to others. So whether it's through my Sunday school class or through a 29ers ministry or some other way, I'm going to use my talents and gifts that God has given me to share God's love even with people in my church. And then here's number five. How will I spread God's glory to the nations this year? How will I spread God's glory to the nations this year? Do you have a plan to pray for the nations? Do you have a regular way to give to the work of the nations through missions giving? What's your plan for going to the nations? Our church is always involved in taking the gospel somewhere. What's your plan for going? Listen, as we come up on a new year, I've realized something in my own life. If I don't ask myself some of these honest questions and put some things down in paper and commit some things to the Lord, I'll get all the way through my year not making the most of the year. And I don't want the same for you. I believe God's plan is too big. The world is too lost. Hell is too hot. Eternity is too long. The time is too short. And God's glory is too great for us to waste our lives this year. We need to make the most of it. Let's pray. Father, I've taken some time today to share some very personal things that I'm hoping will be a part of my life in 2017. I pray these things will be practical and that perhaps as you've stirred my heart up about some of these things, you'll stir up the hearts for these folks. I think when we stand before you, I think our greatest failure will be in how we spent our time and that we were not intentional about making the most of our lives. Lord, I don't want that for anybody here. I want them to stand before you acclaimed and not ashamed. So help us to make the most of our lives and the most of the days that you have graciously given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.